The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Welcome to RTW Main Event, which used to be a hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. And now we basically do whatever the hell we want. So without further ado, here's your host, Radicalized Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Main Event. I am your host, Radicalized Rob, Rob Francois. WrestleMania 38, Night 1 is in the books. You know, when a company like WWE wants to do something right, they prove that they can do it without a shadow of a doubt better than any other company on the planet. Now, admittedly, if you guys follow me, you know I don't watch the weekly product. I don't watch Raw. I don't watch SmackDown. I don't watch NXT, AEW, Impact, MLW, or New Japan. Because I was tired of getting my intelligence insulted by the people that book modern-day wrestling. I tried to give AEW a chance. I watched it in the beginning. I can't get behind the flip-flop and flies, the no psychology, the no selling. Tony Khan is... he's going to be the downfall of All Elite Wrestling. He's a coked-up wrestling nerd that has all the money in the world to book his fantasies. God bless him. If I had that much money, I probably would too. What I witnessed tonight was one of the greatest pay-per-views I've seen in quite a while. Now, while I do not watch the weekly product, I do watch the pay-per-views. Andy Meek is in the house. A 57-year-old Stone Cold Steve Austin had the greatest return match. Dude, we're going to get to that in a second, but I mean, Stone Cold looked absolutely fantastic. But I want to start with the Hall of Fame. It was great to see the Steiner brothers. Great to see Queen Charmel. The family of Leon White, Vader. The family of Shad Gaspard, the winner of the Warrior Award. But Mark Calloway, The Undertaker, completely stole the show. And admittedly, of course, we should have expected it. I didn't expect his promo or his speech to go an hour and a half. But it was the most real, the most genuine speech I've ever seen in the history of WWE Hall of Fame. We've had really great speeches. It is fitting that Mark Calloway was able to get that time, considering his retirement send-off was during COVID in front of nobody. An empty building. A man who's put that many years into the sport that we love deserved a proper send-off, which is why I am glad he got the time to speak as long as he wanted during the Hall of Fame after SmackDown last night. It was one of the best speeches I've heard in my entire life. He made a really good point about having certain mental signature moves over the years. The one that stood out to me the most get a little choked up about it. Perception is reality. I got to meet Mark Calloway, and I've said this on my show several times, and I've said this week, but I'll share it again for those of you that might not know. I met Mark Calloway, The Undertaker, at a restaurant in Connecticut called Papa Gino's in Windsor Locks, Connecticut, across from Bradley Airport. I bowled in junior leagues during that time at Bradley Bowl, which is right next door. Well, after we got done with our league one Saturday morning, my friends and I went over to Papa Gino's to grab some lunch. We didn't realize that there was a WWE, WWF at the time, show in Hartford. We saw Jimmy Hart, who, I mean, to us, 13, 14-year-old kids, I mean, even he was taller than us. He's kind of a short guy. Super nice. Super nice. Saw Hacksaw, I mean, barrel chested. I've never seen anybody that big in my entire life, right? Like, just a huge, massive man. Then the Nasty Boys walk in, and all hell broke loose. Like, Brian Knobs grabbed the microphone that they used to call out orders and just says, Hacksaw Duggan's in the house. Hilarious. And then this 6'10" giant walks in a Ribera Steakhouse jacket. And if you guys know anything about that, then you know. It was The Undertaker. Now, granted, this was early 1991. He had just come in 1990 to Survivor Series. Oddly enough, in Hartford, that November before. They got their food. They sat down. Hacksaw sat by himself, and the Nasties and Undertaker sat together because they were heels. So, keeping kayfabe alive back in 1991, you got the babyface sitting by himself, and you got the heels sitting together. Well, none of my friends had the guts to go up to any of them, especially the Undertaker. And me, as a 14, almost 15-year-old kid, kind of got dared to do it, so to speak. And so I did. I had a piece of paper and a pen, and I go up to him as he's sitting there. And I'll never forget it. He's eating a tuna sandwich, a tuna sub, a tuna grinder, as we say up in New England. And I said, Mr. Undertaker, sir, can I please have your autograph? And he sat there for a minute, put down his sandwich, was looking forward, and then I'm looking at the Nasties and like, oh, fuck, this kid's got some balls, right? Doesn't look at me, but takes the paper and pen from me. Writes, rest in peace, The Undertaker. And who knows, at that point, may have been one of the earliest, or maybe the first autograph he ever did since coming into WWF, because, you know, he's not the one to make any appearances or autograph signings or, you know, he's usually in character. And he said something at the ceremony last night that really, really resonated with me. You never know when you say hi to somebody or ask somebody how they're doing or shake somebody's hand, how that can change them, how that could change their lives. So even back then in 1991, he realized that. And even though back then kayfabe was alive and wrestlers pretty much stayed in character, he is the dead man. He already defeated Hulk Hogan. Or no, I'm sorry, that was later on in 91. He hadn't even got that far yet. So he's a newcomer in the WWF. Kids at the events are scared shitless about, you know, of him. And I said, thank you. And he kind of, you know, I took the autograph and he just kind of grunted. But he didn't have to do that. That shows the integrity of Mark Calloway, the person. Fresh from WCW in a new territory in WWF as a heel. Not just a heel, but literally a walking zombie, a dead man. Still decided to sign my autograph. So I really just kind of drove home who he is as a man. You know, I just remember that moment. I actually got to meet him a couple years ago, you know, 30 years later. He was helping out his buddy, the good mayor, Glenn Jacobs, Kane, when Mayor Jacobs was running for the mayor of Knox County. That's right. Manners cost nothing. That's exactly right. And I had two copies of the first cover he ever made of WWF Magazine from 91. I don't know why I had two copies back then. You know, in the 80s, I subscribed to it in the mail. It came to my house. Maybe I got a duplicate. Maybe my dad bought me one. Didn't realize I had one. I don't know. One I opened and one I kept sealed in the original packaging with the little white sticker on it that has my name and address on it. That's how they used to come. In a clear plastic, like cellophane package with their logos on it and all that. And for whatever reason, I carried it all over the country, everywhere I've ever moved. I still had that sealed and put away. Perfect. Never opened. And Taker never ever does appearances or autograph sessions. And he did want to help out Glenn Jacobs. So I went to this event, waited in line forever to get through. And I had the magazine. And I gave it to him, and I opened it right in front of him. I said, "Sir, I met you 30 years ago. You would never remember it. And for whatever reason, I kept this magazine for 30 years and never opened it." And I opened it in front of him. He's like, "You're kidding, right?" I said, "No." He's like, "Wow, that's pristine." I'm like, "Yeah." And he signed a cover for me. I actually might have it here. I might have it here somewhere. Just so you know, I'm not full of shit. I don't live there anymore. You can see my address. I really don't care. In the mail for 30 years. And never opened it until that night. Undertaker, 2018. That's a moment I will never, ever, ever get back. That's a once in a lifetime. The Lord must have been looking after me on that one. So Mark Calloway is who he says he is. He is a very genuine human being and a man of faith. Obviously, his wife is a Christian. She renewed his faith, which is a great thing. I was talking to Gunner, former Jackson Riker. He was on my show this week. I asked him if he knew if Taker was saved or not, and he wasn't sure, but he admitted it last night in front of the world. But, yeah, that's an amazing moment, dude, that I got to open that in front of the Undertaker, and he signed it. Just so you know, I'm not full of shit. The original bag, so cool. Anyways, moving on to WrestleMania. Let's get into the card. There's a lot of surprises tonight. Kicked off the main card with the Usos defending their SmackDown Tag Team Champions against Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. And Boogs is so over. So friggin' over. I mean, we know everybody loves Shinsuke, but the whole presentation with Boogs firing the crowd up, playing Shinsuke down to the ring, it's a pretty cool thing to see. And it was a really good match. I don't know if Boogs legit got hurt, but he had Jay up in a fireman's carry, and Jimmy jumped in and was going to jump on top of both of them, jump on Jay's back. And I don't know what the spot was supposed to be, but Boogs went down and held his right knee. Now, if you know anything about wrestling, you typically always sell the left. In Mexico, they always sell the right, but traditionally in the U.S., you always sell the left side. And then he went out of the ring, and we didn't see him until the end when they were helping him out. So he was no longer part of the match. Either he's an amazing seller, or he was legit hurt, and they kind of had to, get through the rest of the match calling on the fly until they get to the finish, in which the Usos won, which is pretty impressive. I mean, it was a really good match. So hopefully Rick Boogs is okay, because it didn't look good. Didn't look good at all. We then get to Happy Corbin against Drew McIntyre. Now, look, I love Baron Corbin. I think Baron Corbin has been one of the most improved wrestlers in the last few years. Really, really worked hard on his character. We knew he was a stud. We knew he was a natural athlete, former football player, college and pros, and transferred over to wrestling and really picked it up right away. One of the few college athletes that picks up wrestling really, really fast. Thank you, Andy. I liked the sad Corbin stuff. I thought it really showed a new side of him. But then the happy Corbin just getting so old. And look, I love Madcap Moss. Guy's built like a brick shithouse. Fantastic athlete. Won the Andre Battle Royal. I really hope they do something with him other than this in the future. But I want Baron Corbin to go back to the lone wolf. I want Baron Corbin to go back to being just a badass, ass kicker. And what's really funny, until I didn't realize it until Michael Cole or Corey Graves mentioned it tonight. When Drew McIntyre kicked out at the end of days, one of the announcers mentioned that that was the first time anyone's ever kicked out of the end of days. Can you believe they have protected that finish for what, 4 years now? 5 years, however long he's been up and on NXT? That's absolutely incredible. And for McIntyre to be the one, who better? I mean, McIntyre deserved his moment during COVID when he won the title during an empty arena, with the empty arena, which was sucked for him. It really did. Hopefully he gets back up in that position again, but man, the first one to ever kick out at the end of days is just, that's pretty incredible. But Drew ended up getting the win in a really, really good match. I really enjoyed it. The Miz and Logan Paul against the Mysterios, Rey and Dominic. I've been following Logan Paul and Jake Paul for a while. They're very interesting to watch on YouTube and TikTok and whatever else. And, they're both pretty badass, especially Logan. Logan's a badass fighter. He's a really good boxer. In great shape, got a great look, and such a dick. Whether he is in real life, I don't know, but I mean, plays such a great heel. Perfect for him. Wrestling is tailor-made for him. And The Miz, what can we say about The Miz? The Miz has been around for a long time. Miz is a company guy. He's John Cena's light, making all the company appearances, all the charity appearances over the years, being the company guy, being an ambassador for the brand, tirelessly working to promote himself and the WWE. Perfect partner for Logan Paul. You know, when Dominic Mysterio first came in, I was pretty high on him. I thought he moved really well. He was a great athlete, had some charisma. But I feel like a couple years later now, he hasn't really progressed. He's almost regressed. I didn't like what I saw from him tonight. He was kind of sloppy and all over the place. Logan Paul, however, for not being a wrestler, looked absolutely fantastic. He could sell. He could bump. I mean, it's one thing to teach a celebrity or, an outside athlete wrestling moves and doing choreographed spots. But it's another thing to have great timing and know how to sell. He did the Three Amigos tonight. It was so fucking good. Then he gets up to the top turnbuckle and does the Eddie shimmy, which I can't even do. And hits an amazing frog splash, like picture-perfect frog splash. Kid's got balls, man. That's real heat. That crowd was pissed. Miz and Paul got the win. I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't. I mean, the Mysterios don't really need it anyway. I mean, Rey obviously is a Hall of Famer. But Logan Paul might have a future in wrestling. And the Miz turned on him. And I don't know why. And I think we'll probably find out in the coming weeks. But it's probably not the last you're going to see a Logan Paul. Looks like he might move into a program with the Miz. I haven't heard anything, but just based on what happened tonight, I'm actually interested to see what happens. Andy Minkus says Logan Paul was trained by Gregory Helms. That makes a lot of sense. Helms is really good. Really good wrestler. Just signed a Legends deal. Moving on to the Raw Women's Championship match. Big time Bex, who is skinny as fuck. Jesus, she looks anorexic. I don't know what the hell's wrong with her. I'm not digging the whole Lady Gaga dress up either. I mean, big time, I didn't like the man. I don't like big time Bex. Becky needs to be an underdog babyface. The steampunk babyface that Brad Shepherd calls her. And by the way, Brad Shepherd's supposed to be here tonight. Shout out to Brad. He's really sick and doesn't have his voice. So unfortunately, he couldn't make it tonight. Maybe he'll be tomorrow night for the second night wrap-up show. But shout out to Brad. Sorry he's not here tonight. I'm flying solo. But God, Becky, her ass still looks good, but Jesus Christ, she needs to eat a couple steaks, put some weight on. I've never been a big fan of Bianca Belair. I think the hair twirling is obnoxious. I think it should be a heel character, but her personality is really starting to shine, and she really impressed me tonight. It was a really, really good match. And I don't think Becky's a great wrestler. I never thought she was a great wrestler. But tonight she did okay. It was a long match, but it was brutal. It was a real, real dogfight. And Bianca Belair won the women's title for the second time at WrestleMania. Pretty sure she's undefeated at WrestleMania. Winning the title last year from Sasha Banks, and now tonight from Becky Lynch. Not sure if Becky's going to go away for a while. You know, she just had a kid. She could just take some time off and refocus and maybe come back as a babyface. I mean, that would be the best thing, to just kind of reboot that character, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But look, it was a really good match. It really was. It felt like a big-time match. Then we get to Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins did not have a WrestleMania match. He was going through a bunch of, jumping through a bunch of hoops. The main storyline was not being able to have a match and trying to, you know, he had a last chance match and tried all these ways to get into WrestleMania. Till Vince McMahon calls him into his office. And Seth thinks he's going to get fired. And Vince says, you know, if you want to be in WrestleMania, you just have to ask me. Look on Rollins' face like, fuck, that's all I had to do? I went through all this shit and all I did was ask you? Seth Rollins is doing the best stuff of his career. Like, the whole, like, kind of knockoff crazy Joker character, the newer Joker, is just, it's really, really good, and it really fits him. It really fits him. And I think he's doing a fantastic job. He needed some kind of an identity, because he really didn't have one. Ever since The Shield, he was just kind of, you know, he's the architect, the Kingslayer, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, who is he, though? Like, who is Seth Rollins? I hated the Monday Night Messiah, just because I thought it was blasphemous. Plus, it just wasn't that good. But what he's doing now, Seth freaking Rollins, is absolutely amazing. And the fact that I introduced him as Seth freaking Rollins is freaking hilarious. Everybody thought Cody Rhodes was going to come in tonight. I was hoping for a swerve. I thought it'd be funny if the crowd just, I mean, how do you get super heat on a guy? You know, by, you know, whoever replaces him, you know, whoever goes in his spot, whether it be Shane McMahon, you know, we heard maybe The Undertaker in the last match, but Shane would have had nuclear heat with that crowd. But it was Cody Rhodes. Seth waited for a while. They waited long enough to build anticipation with the crowd. Then the lights go out, fireworks go off everywhere. They show the American Nightmare logo on the screen. And, God damn it, I don't know how they did it, but Cody has his AEW theme song. So he's got the same look, got the same branding, got the same logo, got the same song, and he's allowed to use the Rhodes name. The American Nightmare Cody Rhodes re-debuted back in WWE tonight to a standing ovation from 70,000 plus or whatever they say was in the crowd. It's probably more like 65, 62. Semantics. They lost their minds. Even though most everybody knew he was going to show up. Still lost their minds. He soaked it in for a good while. You know, I really, really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And I've never been the biggest Cody fan. Look, I never thought he was a great wrestler. Thought he was a great promo, but not a great wrestler. But I was really impressed with him tonight. I think the match went a little bit long with Seth. And Cody, goddamn, looked like Cody was in a knockdown, drag-out fight. Like, his body shows, it's like Sheamus. He's not as white as Sheamus, but man, his body really shows, like, scars, like Miz, too. Like, scratches on his back and bumps. His face was fucked up, and he may have legit broke his ribs, too, when he was trying to power up. You know, when one guy grabs him around, the other guy's on the bottom, they both bridge up with their legs and usually go into a backslide. Well, they couldn't get up. And I think Cody may have been hurt from that, or before that. Yeah, he's allowed to use a neck tattoo. So, I mean, obviously, you know, they couldn't take it off. Looked like it was even bigger and more colorful tonight. Like, he got it touched up or something. But, no, it was a really good match. Shit ton of crossroads tonight, too. I wish Cody would have hit the pedigree for the win, because that just would have... I would have fucking popped huge for that. And he almost did it, and he ended up doing a butterfly powerbomb, butterfly suplex or butterfly powerbomb, whatever it was, or tiger bomb, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And I would have popped huge. I would have popped huge if that was a pedigree. That would have been fitting. Don't know if he's ever had words since he's come back with Paul Levesque, Triple H, after the whole, you know, smashing the whole throne thing and talking shit about WWE. Look, I told my wife tonight, they're all carny, dude. All wrestlers are just weird individuals. They're all carny. They're all in it for the money. Sure, they love wrestling. They love performing. Just listen to Brock Lesnar. You're here to make money. Cody was able to forget everything that ever happened to him. All the shit that he talked about WWE. And came back and kissed the ring after he won. You can't make this shit up. Cody Rhodes is back like nothing ever happened. And who knows? Maybe he'll get pushed right into the main event scene. That's the logical thing to do, right? But it was a really good match. Good to see Cody Rhodes back. In my opinion, where he belongs. And fuck you, Tony Khan, because that was a big kick in the dick to him. You know, Cody comes back. And he's entered right into WrestleMania on the first night. The biggest event of the entire year. I don't give a fuck what AEW does in 10 lifetimes. They'll never get bigger than WrestleMania. It's just impossible. The odds are too stacked up against him. And for one of the guys, basically the guy that really got AEW started to be in WrestleMania, just warms my heart. Charlotte Flair against Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown Women's Champion. This match really surprised me. I was really surprised at the outcome. I did not expect Charlotte Flair to win tonight. I figured, what is the point of bringing Ronda back after all this time? Just had a kid, 4 months out of, you know, removed from having a baby. Comes back at the Rumble and wins it to lose to Charlotte. Charlotte doesn't need to win. And I guess, in a way, Ronda doesn't need either, but doesn't need one either. But still, like, what was the point of all that? To really put over Charlotte Flair as the greatest of all time? I mean, they love Charlotte. Don't get me, I mean, obviously, she was, like, undefeated at pay-per-views for a long time. She's the queen. I mean, she is Ric Flair with titties. Rumble on the Hill, old chap, says WWE shows have a good flow. Yes, this show had a fantastic flow. Adam Finch, Noelle Foley is surprised. The Undertaker didn't mention her Hall of Fame. Yeah, I saw her tweet last night. She's an asshole. I don't think he mentioned Mick because Mick's a fucking liberal snowflake crackpot. But don't make it about yourself or your dad. Like, fuck the Foleys. Seriously. It would have been nice to hear my dad's name mentioned. Suck a bag of dicks. That's what I feel about that. Anyways. Getting back to Charlotte and Ronda. I did not expect Charlotte to win. It was a fucking, again, a dogfight. Just a knockdown, drag-out match. They beat the piss out of each other. And one of Charlotte's titties popped out, which was awesome. I was like, the screen went black, and I could still hear the commentary. I'm like, what the fuck happened to the... I'm like, it's almost like the finish of the match. Like, what the fuck is wrong with the video? Obviously, there's an 8 or 10 second delay, and when she got Ronda in the figure eight, and she bridged up, one of the puppies popped out, because it looks like one of the straps in her bra came loose. So, I don't know if they're going to edit it out or the network, but anybody that saw it, that was pretty awesome. Ronda won't be back. She might not be. She might not be. But it was a good match. Fuck Billy Body. He doesn't know shit. Anyway, he's a cocksucker. Tell him I said that. Great win for Charlotte, though. I mean, really. Just cements her legacy as being one of the greatest women of all time. Then we get to the final part of the show. Which, look, I said on Twitter I had hoped KO and Steve Austin open the show. I said, what better way to open WrestleMania? It's a Steve Austin pop. Yeah, Little H was the ref that caused Ronda to lose. That's actually pretty funny. But no. Like I said on Twitter, if Austin and KO go last, I'll be the first one to admit I was wrong, and I was wrong. Dave Meltzer said it was going to be the last segment. And we're like, fuck you, Dave, crazy old Dave. You autistic dumbass. People fuck with him all the time, give him false information. Why is a talk show going to end the night? And then he mentioned, well, it might actually be a match. And I'm thinking, 57-year-old Steve Austin doesn't need to have a match. So Brad Shepard and I talked about it this week on Brad Shepard Unleashed. Anywhere podcasts are found. Also on YouTube, Brad Shepard Unleashed. Check out the video version of the podcast, which I co-host and produce. And Brad was supposed to be here tonight, but he was sick, so what up, Brad? Ronda might be back for Saudi.
Yeah,
that makes sense. And Dave is a super creep. He is. And there, look, every now and then, the sun shines in a dog's ass, you know, at least twice a day, right? Or once a day, or broken clock is right twice, whatever the fuck it is. Steve Austin looked fantastic. Came out and greeted the crowd. We knew he was in great shape. He's been doing DDP yoga, DDPY. Easy for me to say. Looks in the best shape he's looking a long time. The guns were out. He had vascularity in his muscles. Ugh. Johnny Ace must have loved that.
Oh, hey, Steve, your muscles are so vascular. Can I help you get your pump on?
Fucking Johnny Ace. Anyway, Stone Cold Steve Austin came out to a ridiculous ovation, as always. There's nothing like a Stone Cold pop. I have witnessed it several times in either house shows or Raws or pay-per-views. I was at In Your House Degeneration X in Springfield when he took on, I forgot who it was. He took on, it might have been The Rock. He was fighting a Nation of Domination at that time. He came out in a black pickup truck. It's pretty awesome. When that glass breaks, the fucking place goes nuts. I never heard anything so loud in my entire life. And I heard Hogan pops, I heard Warrior pops, I heard Roddy Piper pops. Even bigger than the Road Warrior pop. Then I saw him again at WrestleMania 14 when he won the title from Shawn Michaels in Boston at the Fleet Center, or what used to be the Fleet Center. Now it's the Garden again. Saw him in Hartford the night Stephanie got like kidnapped and was going to marry The Undertaker, and she was on the fucking cross or whatever, and Stone Cold saved the day. So I've heard plenty of Stone Cold pops over the years, and that one tonight was right up there. However many people were in the building, they all went banana, as Pat Patterson would say. Steve soaked it in for a while, went to each side of the ramp and put his arms up in the air, hit the turnbuckles, kicked Kevin Owens' poster board for the KO show, just kicked him out of the way and get up in the turnbuckles and saluted the crowd. Till KO cut him off and said, you know what, sit down. I want to have a conversation with you. And they went back and forth. Same old stuff from Kevin. Texas sucks, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know what, Steve? I actually lied to you. I didn't want you to come here for a conversation. You know, sometimes I lie. I don't do it very often. When I do, it's for a good reason. Fucking love that line. Was it The Rock In Your House DX? Yeah, I couldn't remember. I know the whole nation was there, and he stunned somebody on the pickup truck, whatever, but yeah, it was The Rock. Yeah, that's right, you're right, because they were chanting, Die, Rocky, Die, when we were walking around the arena. It was fucking hilarious. That was even before the show started. Anyway, thank you, WG Phil. And, yeah, Kevin Owens says, you know what, I didn't come here to talk to you. I came here because I want to fight. And we know, fight Owens, fight. He had his KO Mania 6 on with him and Austin. I love his shirts every year. It's just fucking fantastic. Attention to detail. I know Brad Shepard hates Kevin Owens, but I'm a really big fan of his. I love Kevin Steen. Look, for a big guy, he can still move, and he was bumping all over the place tonight. So he said he wanted to have a match with Steve Austin, not just any match, but a no-holds-barred match, which I knew if anything was going to happen, that's exactly what it was going to be, because I'm like, Steve's not going to take any bumps. Well, holy fuck. Steve says, if you want to see me have a no-holds-barred match with Kevin Owens, give me a hell yeah. Fucking crowd goes nuts. He goes, I didn't hear you. Give me a hell yeah. Fucking loud ovation. He said, give me a god. And he almost said, goddamn, give me a goddamn referee. Excuse me. So they get a referee down the ring. You know, Steve Austin says, I had my first match here in Dallas, Texas. You guys want to see me have my last match here in Dallas, Texas? And they did. They had a match. They brawled all over the place. Steve looked fantastic. His punches were stiff as fuck. They're on point, though. They brawled all over the place. Kevin bumped his ass off for Steve. They go over the barricade. They start fighting in the crowd. And Steve Austin took a vertical suplex onto the concrete. I popped huge for that. I'm like, number one, I was like, holy fuck, is he dead? Crowd was chanting during the foot stomps. He walked two mud holes. He kicked two mud holes in Kevin Owens and walked him dry. That was good to see that again. But Steve Austin took a back suplex, or took a vertical suplex onto the concrete. And you could hear the smack of the concrete. Flat back bump, which I didn't think he'd ever take, let alone outside the ring. And I'm like, holy shit, a 57-year-old Steve Austin is taking a suplex on the concrete. And then he got his comeuppance when they went and fought onto the ramp and onto the stage. He gave Owens a suplex of his own on each side of the ramp, or each side of the stage, which is pretty awesome. Steve looked like $1 million and wasn't blown up at all. It's fucking amazing. Like, it's one thing to look great, which he does, and look cut. I wish he would take his shirt off just to see if he actually had abs, because his arms are huge. But he didn't look blown up at all. Like I said, I was going to say, it's one thing to look good, and it's another thing to be in actual ring shape. Even just to be in regular shape, it's completely different cardio to be in ring shape. And Steve went all around that arena and wasn't blown up once. Fucking amazing. Look, Steve Austin has said on his podcast for years now, it took about 2 years for him to get, you know, the business out of his blood. And he didn't miss it anymore. You know, while he loved the sport of professional wrestling, and still does to this day, he had no desire to get back in the ring. He said, there's no reason for me to have to get back into ring shape just for a one-off. Triple H said it's the hardest thing he's ever done the last few years is get in shape and wrestle at WrestleMania once a year. The hardest thing he's ever done in his career. And he's blown two quads. So Steve said he didn't want to do it. And so we're all thinking it's just going to be a brawl. You know, he'll stun him, drink some beers, and leave. Nobody thought it was going to be an actual match. And they delivered. Hats off to Kevin Owens for bumping his ass off. Went through a table, had a few other tough spots. Steve taking a fucking suplex on the concrete still blows my mind. It was perfectly safe. You got to give Owens credit for being absolutely safe. Steve got stunned. He kicked out of it. Crowd went crazy. Till eventually, Austin got KO with the stunner and pinned him 1-2-3, and the crowd went ape shit. Stone Cold drank beers all over the ring. Did the old, you know, Kevin gets back up, kicks him, gets him another stunner, kicks him out of the ring. And then two Texas Rangers take him out. Cowboy hats and all. It's fucking fantastic. Steve popped for that one. Kept on drinking beers. Threw one to his brother. He missed it. He dropped it. Come on, man. You're Williams. You got to catch that beer. And then he calls Byron Saxton into the ring. And Corey Graves says, this is the moment I've been waiting my entire career since I started working with Byron Saxton. Because apparently everybody in the whole free world knew what was going to happen. But poor old Byron didn't. Byron got in there in his ridiculous-looking suit, grabbed a beer, started to chug it. You know what's going to happen. Kick to the gut. Bam! Stunner! Byron sells like $1 million. Stone Cold drinks more beers. Calls his brother into the ring. They drink a beer together. Would have been fucking hilarious if he stunned his brother. GTA, motherfucker. Didn't happen, though. It was a cool moment. He got to share the ring with his brother. And Stone Cold Steve Austin gets to go out on his own terms in front of the crowd, I mean, not the exact crowd, but in the town that he started his career in Dallas, Texas, at the Sportatorium. Wrestlers are funny people. Number one, none of them can ever get the wrestling business out of their blood. I don't care what they say. It was 19 years since Austin last wrestled. And what was his last match at WrestleMania 19 in Seattle at Safeco? Had to go out quietly, never announced that it was going to be his last match, just kind of rode off into the sunset and told people, you know, years later that, you know, it was my last match. And I had to. I couldn't wrestle anymore. Absolutely amazing that he was able to come back 19 years later, 57 years old, in fantastic shape, never got blown up, put on a hell of a show with Kevin Owens. And gets to go out for the last time. Hopefully the last time. Seriously, Steve, don't come back. Come back for appearances. Don't come back for another match. Like, I don't think he will. I think this literally was it. But what a fitting thing for arguably the biggest draw in the history of the wrestling business next to Hulk Hogan. And we can argue all night about who was bigger. Without Hulk, there wouldn't be anybody, so it is what it is. Hulk also had a longer run on top, I'm just saying. But for what Steve did in his, you know, 3-4 years that he was in WWE until he retired was amazing. To start in Dallas and to end in Dallas, story beginning. And he gets to go out on his own terms. We saw it with Edge. We saw it with Daniel Bryan. You know, Ricky Steamboat had to retire because of a neck injury. Rick Rude retired and, you know, was attempting a comeback. Arn Anderson. You never get the wrestling out of your blood. And Edge fought his ass off and came back. Daniel Bryan fought his ass off and came back. Ricky Steamboat came back at an advanced age and fought Chris Jericho. Amazing matches. Wrestlers can't take it when they don't go out on their terms. It eats them alive. No matter what Steve said on the outside, on the inside, he's thinking, God damn, pal, I wish I still had that one moment. You know, that last moment. Steve was able to do that. By the grace of God, he got through the match unscathed, put on a fantastic show, and ends his wrestling career in Dallas. 30 years later, where he started. It's truly remarkable. All in all, I get this show like 5 stars, dude. Seriously, like one of the best nights of WrestleMania I've seen in a long time. And I know that doesn't say much because last year was it was all right, and the pandemic fucking sucked. And, you know, for a few years, it's been pretty bad. But WrestleMania still continues to deliver. No matter what the fuck happens on a weekly basis, the pay-per-views are usually good. And it's WrestleMania. It doesn't matter if I don't watch the product anymore. I still watch WrestleMania. I still watch the pay-per-views. I still watch Rumble. I watch the weekly premium live event. Sorry. And night one of WrestleMania absolutely delivered tonight. Top to bottom, not a bad match at all. 5 stars of a possible 7. 30 stars out of 30 stars. Really good stuff. I'm looking forward to night two. Night two was supposed to be the banger. I mean, there's a lot of great matches coming up tomorrow night. Really looking forward to it. Looking forward to Brock and Roman, obviously, and looking forward to AJ and Edge. That's going to be fucking... That might be the match of the night. You got Triple Threat for the Raw Tag Team titles. The Fatal 4-Way for the Women's Tag Team titles. Got Johnny Knoxville against Sami Zayn. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a really, really good show. We'll see. I don't know if it could top tonight. God damn, I love Roman and Brock. They're doing the best stuff of their career right now. Edge is doing the great stuff. But man, it's really going to be hard to top tonight. It honestly is. But I'm looking forward to night two. And I'll be back again after night two to wrap it up. Hopefully Brad Shepherd will be here with me. But unfortunately, he was sick and couldn't be here. He had no voice. If not, I'll be here, regardless, for day 7, the last day of Rad Mania 4. What an amazing week we've had. We started off on Monday with Husey. From It's Husey Hello. We watched Vince McMahon against Hulk Hogan from WrestleMania 19. Tuesday was my interview with Chad Lail, who was back to using the name Gunner when he was in Impact, the former Jackson Riker. We talked about his favorite WrestleMania moments. He had so many great stories. Wednesday, Drake Wirtz with I, former NXT referee. Drake Wirtz and I watched Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper from WrestleMania 8. Drake was there live as a kid to watch it in attendance. So he had some really great stories about that too. Thursday? Jesus Christ. I'm getting so old, guys. B. Brian Blair. Sorry. Former one half of the Killer Bees, B. Brian Blair. Came on to talk about his new book, Truth Be Told. And we also watched the Killer Bees against Nikolai Volkov and Iron Sheik from WrestleMania 3. It's the first time he ever watched that match back since it happened. So that was a really cool moment to share with him and get some insight from him from what it was like to be at WrestleMania 3 and compete in that match, and how the match should have been booked differently. This is all up in my audio feed, RTW Brand. The videos will be coming out on YouTube, Rad Rob Gaming, here next week. And Friday was John Paz from the Two-Man Power Trip. We broke down WrestleMania 5 in a fascinating conversation. Absolutely enjoyed it. John is such a good friend and such a good guy. He is the podfather of wrestling. He's got so many interviews in the books, including Sting and Hulk Hogan. It was absolutely amazing. But we broke down WrestleMania 5 match by match, talked about backstory, talked about, you know, the legacy of the wrestlers that were involved. It's a really fascinating conversation. But all that is on my RTW Brand feed, RTW Main Event, RTW Rewind. It's all part of one umbrella under RTW. So check that out. Radmania 4, my fourth annual week, where I do a week long of shows, one show every day. And tomorrow will be the end of it. Tomorrow will be day 7, WrestleMania 38, night 2, post game wrap up show. And I'll give my thoughts and opinions on what happens tomorrow night. So, guys, I appreciate you all being here in the chat, watching along here on YouTube and Twitch. The audio version, if you missed any of it, will also be available on the audio feed. But, yeah, thanks for watching, guys. Appreciate your support. If you want to follow me on Instagram and Twitter, at RadRobGaming, if you want to check me out on my Twitch gaming stream, every Tuesday and Saturday night, I stream on twitch.tv/RadRobGaming. And if you're watching here on YouTube, it's my gaming channel, RadRobGaming. Check out all my 1,000 videos I got fucking put up here. It's ridiculous. Even my daughter's playing video games now, and she's a fucking prodigy. She's a good Super Mario Maker 2 player. She's only 3. But, yeah, lots of content for you guys. Check out all the other shows we got here. We got Brad Shepard Unleashed. Drops every Thursday on the Rad Rob Radio Network. Anywhere podcasts are found. Straight Up 5 with Johnny Petraglia Jr. And The Ocho, our bowling show, which is fucking taking fire. It's really the most popular show I have right now, next to Brad. We got Uncancelled with Drake Wirtz. That drops every Friday. RTW Main Event drops every Monday. I'm sorry, every Thursday. And we're coming up to our 200th episode this coming week. Next week. 200th episode, which really I've done like 500, but we're actually in sequential order. It's the number 200 show that we've numbered, other than bonus shows. So we'll have a big celebration for that. It'll be the finals of our RTW Top 5 Challenge Tournament of Champions. We got Bobbo taking on Marky Mark. Let's see who'll be the RTW Top 5 Challenge champion, the final champion. We're going to be rebranding the show, moving on to a different format with Ocho and I. So this will be the last incarnation of the Main Event as it is. We're moving on to a more sports-centric show. And Ocho and I are also doing a Rocky podcast. We're going to break down all 6 Rocky movies. And maybe Creed, maybe both Creed movies. So that'll be an interesting listen as well. But yeah, right now I got 6 podcasts, full-time job, streaming during the week, YouTube channel, producing shows. I'm a dad, I'm a husband. And I'm fucking old and I'm tired and I'm going to bed. It's midnight here where I am. It's 1 o'clock on the East Coast. So thank you guys for staying up and watching me and listening to me live. And we'll see you tomorrow for day 7 of Radmania 4. I'm done rambling. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good night. Peace.
Thank you for listening to this edition of RTW Main Event. You can follow the show on Twitter at RTW Brand. Follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. And follow the Ocho
at the DR Ocho.
Ocho. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to RTW Main Event right here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.